very good Tuesday. Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. On the show today, Taylor Charleston will have a report discussing why demand for biological products is up right now, despite high market prices. And I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news right after this.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
Five more local water agencies have signed on to agreement to provide water flows and new habitat to help improve conditions in the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta watershed, adding momentum to the state's plan to adapt to a new climate reality. In March, leaders of state, federal, and local agencies announced a memorandum of understanding outlining terms for a transformational eight-year program to provide substantial new flows for the environment to help recover salmon and other native fish, create new and restored habitat for fish and wildlife, and provide significant funding for environmental improvements and water purchases. The five new signatories, East Bay Municipal Utility District, Solano County Water Agency, Tehama-Calusa Canal Authority, Friant Water Authority, and the San Luis and Delta Mendota Water Authority joined dozens of local agencies that have volunteered to implement actions and contribute funding to integrate additional water flows with a physical landscape to help improve habitat for native fish in the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta watershed. The state has been actively working since 2016 with local water agencies that voluntarily come together to develop enforceable agreements that provide additional river flows and new habitat to help change the trajectory of declining native fish species. Following the release of a framework document in February of 2020 that has been known as the Voluntary Agreements, state and local agencies have continued to refine elements of agreements that would enable adaptive, holistic management and deliver environmental improvements more quickly than a regulatory proceeding. As part of that work, state, federal, and local agencies already are coordinating across watersheds to secure funding sources and permits for priority habitat projects and create new pathways to enable project implementation. For example, work expanded in 2022 on a roughly 18,000-acre program in the Sacramento Valley to determine optimal conditions to use flooded farmlands to create food for fish and transport it to migrating juvenile salmon in the water. Three other projects are currently underway on the American and Yuba Rivers to expand suitable salmon spawning habitats, increase floodplain and riparian habitats, and improve the natural river morphology. Many more such projects are planned for groundbreaking in 2023 and 2024. In addition to that collaborative work, state agencies recently broke ground on three large tidal wetland projects in the northern Sacramento, San Joaquin Delta, and Suisun Marsh. When completed, the projects Look Through Slough, Broadmoor Island, and Arnold Slough will restore more than 3,600 acres of wetland and support recovery of native fish species. The State Water Resources Control Board is in the process of updating its legally required Bay Delta Water Quality Control Plan to protect native fish, wildlife, and other beneficial uses of water, including municipal, domestic, and agricultural water supplies. The MOU seeks to meet those objectives through an integrated program that restores habitat, secures new flows for the environment, and above existing regulatory requirements, expands funding for environmental improvements and water purchases, and establishes a new collaborative science program to monitor environmental conditions and adapt management over time. Water agencies in the Bay Delta watershed that do not sign on to the approach outlined in the MOU will need to comply with regulatory requirements established by the State Water Board. The implementation of the agreements outlined in the MOU is estimated to cost $2.6 billion to be shared by water users and state and federal governments. Strawberry production in California is about to shift growing regions. Currently, strawberry supplies, which are comparable to last year at this time, are mostly coming out of Salinas, Watsonville. The quality is fair. It's been more humid than normal in Central California over the last couple of weeks, and the overnight temperatures have been warm, so you're going to see a fair amount of bruising showing up in the berries right now. It's not the prettiest berry they've ever had, and the size is off a little bit, according to Steve Johnston of G.W. Palmer & Company. However, beginning the week of August 21st, picking will begin in Santa Maria. These are summer strawberries that are planted in late May. Some of that new crop will start to come off and will probably be a much better berry, according to Johnston. Production stays in this region until the beginning of 2023. At the same time, demand right now for strawberries is fair, given the quality of the berries available. When the days get shorter as they move into fall, we get a better berry, and it's always good for business once we get back into a routine and the kids are back in school, which helps demand, according to Johnston. As for pricing, it's approximately $14 for 1-pound packages right now, a number that also looks comparable to last year at this time. California's fresh fig season is officially underway, according to the California Fresh Fig Growers Association. This year's first crop, known as the Brubba crop, delivered the first mission figs of the season, May through June. The main crop now underway is delivering plump and delicious varieties such as brown turkeys and Sierras. Additional varieties will continue to become available through November. In California, there are five primary varieties of fresh figs offering unique flavor notes. Mission, which is purple and has black skin with a deep earthy flavor. There's Codota, it's creamy amber skin with a light flavor. The brown turkey has light purple to black skin with a robust flavor. The Sierra is light colored skin with a fresh sweet flavor. The Tiger has light yellow color with unique dark green stripes and a bright red purple interior fruit with fruity raspberry citrus flavor. California fresh figs this season will be excellent, according to Carla Stockley, Chief Executive Officer of the California Fresh Fig Growers Association. She says, when you see them, buy them. Each variety is a special treat, and the window to enjoy is short but sweet. Consumers agree as demand for California fresh figs continues to grow, from increased menu offerings in the restaurant industry to sampling and displays at grocery retailers. A comparable size crop to last year's 10 million pounds will be harvested in 2022. This is good news following the pandemic and the decline in food service sales. To promote this year's fresh fig season domestically, the industry is partnering with Instacart on a paid promotion and placing a nationally distributed lifestyle TV segment aired August 25th on daytime and September 3rd on the lifestyle list. The industry will round out its fresh marketing efforts in 2022 with deliveries to media and nutrition influencers across the country. While California fresh figs are available seasonally, California dry figs are available year-round. The Port of Long Beach had its busiest July on record. Dock workers and terminal operators moved 785,843 20-foot equivalent units in July, a slim 13% increase from the previous record set in July of 2021. Imports declined 1.8% to 376,175 TEUs, while exports were down 0.5% to 109,411 TEUs. Empty containers moved through the port were up 2.8% to 300,257 TEUs. Port of Long Beach Executive Director Mario Cadero said they are continuing to seek solutions to improve efficiency as a record-breaking number of containers move through the port. He says they hope to relieve some of the stress points continuing to support a transition of the entire supply chain to 24/7 operations and ensuring the industry partners can track containers with a new supply chain information highway data solution. With a July result, the Port of Long Beach has broken monthly records in 6 out of the last 7 months.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
An interesting trend is hitting the ag industry right now, and it's one that not many foresaw. Biological products like biostimulants are in high demand in the wake of high input prices. CCAJW Lemons of Verdesian Life Sciences is actually not surprised by this trend and has been a consistent advocate for these types of products.
There's more and more people want to get back to something natural, something that's not a chemical input. With so many of the chemistries out there that are considered bad for you, even if it is just the public opinion, even if it is perfectly safe at the low parts per million residuals that are acceptable, people still are looking for an alternative. And when a mother or father is looking for something that's natural for their kids, they start looking at crops that are grown with biologicals and not chemistry input.
There's certainly more appeal to a product that seems real, i.e. a biological product that offers a more appealing mode of action to the consumer.
Even utilizing friendly bugs to fight pests that might damage the crop, and introducing that friendly bug, you know, the old thing with the ladybugs, bring them in and they'll eat the bad bugs, that kind of thing. And people think of that as something that's safer for them. It's safer because they've read so many bad articles and inputs on the damage that our pesticides, herbicides are doing to us. So we're looking for alternative ways, natural ways. And Mother Nature has those. There are ways to prevent the bad pathogens from attacking the plant by having enough good microbial activity in the soil that can combat that by itself, that kind of thing. So it really is an appeal thing. Does it produce better crops? It produces a crop. It can work. I see it as another tool. It's not the answer to all of our problems, that's for sure. And I say that because the biologicals, we don't have enough of them. We don't have enough information, and we can't introduce that system into our product, into our growth system, in order to produce enough crop for the world today. We just can't do it. But it is growing. It's a very interesting sector. But for myself, I'm more inclined to lean towards the biostimulants because I know what I can do with them in the plant.
Consumers are starting to realize that biological products can also save them money on inputs. And Lemons said that this is entirely possible as the market continues to develop and allow for reductions in pesticide use and other inputs.
We have to put a lot of fertilizer down. At least we think we do. And now we're learning that we don't need nearly as much fertilizer input put down on the soil. And with the high cost of fertilizer, you know, reaching $1,000 a ton type of prices and above, anything that we can do to reduce that cost of that input. And a lot of the biological and biostimulant products will do that. It will allow the plant to take up more of what is in the soil. It'll actually convert more of the nutrients that are locked up in the soil into a usable form so that the plant doesn't have to have as many pounds of fertilizer applied to grow our crop and continue to keep the massive inputs or massive output and production that we need. So yes, by all means. And in the pesticide realm, absolutely. Anything that we can do in integrated pest management to reduce the inputs, to reduce the number of sprays that we have. Let's say we get a friendly bug in there, for example, and that bug is combating a bad bug. It may keep that population down and actually control it so that we do fewer sprays. We have to do fewer pesticide applications. And in that, as we continue to grow the market, continue to find new avenues, I think we're gonna see it reduce some of those chemistry inputs that we've been using for all these years. And it's going to give some of these growers an alternative. And they may be able to get a premium for their crop by using those alternatives. For example, growing something organic and using biologicals to control pests. Perfect example. They may get a higher premium price for their organic product. An organic apple, for example, might go for, you know, several cents a pound more in the market than a standard apple just because it appeals to the consumer.
More on today's topic with JW Lemons after the national news coming right up. You're listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns on September 28th and 29th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this two-day conference features two concurrent CE tracks for both PCAs and CCAs. Earn the DPR and CCA credits you need. Network on our trade show floor and join us in giving away scholarships and honorariums presented by Western Region CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
In national agricultural news, House Democrats on a party-line vote passed their signature agenda bill, giving President Joe Biden a major legislative win that capped a months-long fight among Democrats and with Republicans over policies and priorities. For Democrats like House Rules Committee Chair Jim McGovern, it was about the needs of constituents.
To combat inflation, to deal with the climate crisis, to control health care costs, to lower energy costs, I mean, there's a contrast. And so I'm not going to apologize for this process because, quite frankly, I'm proud of this product. It's not everything I wanted, as I said, but I think it's going to help people, help my constituents.
Republicans pushed back against the Senate-passed bill, mocking its title, calling it the Inflation Enhancement Act, and belittling its climate change provisions. Ranking Budget Member Jason Smith.
You have $1.5 billion for tree equity and another $1.9 billion dedicated in part to fill gaps in tree canopy coverage. How is that going to bring down food and gas prices?
The GOP attacked Democrats' tax and spend policies they claim will still worsen inflation and argued a new minimum tax on big companies will force lower wages and higher consumer costs. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley complains that farmers are already paying too much for inputs.
We already have 200-300% increase in fertilizers this year.
On the flip side, the bill would spend billions on tax breaks to spur renewables like biofuels and billions more on climate smart agriculture. And grant applications are being accepted nationally for a USDA grazing lands conservation program that in recent years has been offered by only state offices. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
A USDA conservation program, the Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative, is making a return nationally after years as a state-level offering.
There's a recognition now, especially with the opportunities that we have before us with addressing climate, that a national approach to help reinvigorate that would be very useful.
Natural Resources Conservation Service Associate Chief Lewis Aspie says applications are now being accepted through September 22nd for up to $12 million in CLGI funding of various collaborative conservation projects on private lands.
The specific initiative, the best opportunity would be to go to grants.gov, and you can see the particulars of the application on there, the application period, the requirements, and so forth.
Local NRCS offices also have more information on the Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative. Aspie says project awards should be announced in mid-November. Project duration is 1 to 2 years in length. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The American Automobile Association says the national average price of regular gasoline fell below $4 a gallon. The national average was $3.99 a gallon last week. That's a sharp drop from a record high of $5 a gallon in mid-June. Prices have not been below $4 since March. Oil prices worldwide have dropped amid rising concern about the global economy, which has taken gas prices lower as well. The global benchmark for oil prices has fallen under $100 a barrel, now down from more than $120 in June. NPR says industry analysts expect prices will continue falling, but how long that will continue depends on what happens to oil prices in the future. Global economic concerns, especially as food and energy prices climb, will continue to determine the amount of oil demand. Oil producers in the U.S. and around the world worry about overproducing oil, given the world's economic fears. Though the opportunities are huge for farmers to cash in on carbon markets, American Coalition for Ethanol CEO Brian Jennings said farmers should be cautious when entering markets for their carbon reductions. Many companies are racing to buy carbon credits for cheap from farmers with plans to cash in later, Jennings said during an ACE annual conference in Omaha, Nebraska. Many companies are racing to buy carbon credits for cheap from farmers with plans to cash in later, according to Jennings during their annual ACE conference. Climate Smart Agriculture is just another way to describe farming farming practices that help sequester carbon in soil and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The examples include farmers converting from conventional tillage to reduced till or no-till for nutrient management of fertilizer, maybe planting cover crops as well. He says they're expensive for farmers to adopt. Farmers incur costs and sometimes an initial hit on their yield to adopt these various practices. They've got to be able to get a way to recoup those expenses in a marketplace. And he says the farmers have to be able to monetize these practices if the industry expects them to make changes. Jennings said farmers are getting inundated with offers from private companies that want to take credit for things like reduced tillage and the various voluntary carbon markets that exist around the world. Jennings said it's important for farmers to make informed decisions about whether and how to participate in these carbon markets.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
A key takeaway from this trend with biologicals, according to Lemons, is that it isn't just going to be temporary, it's here to stay. And as products continue to be developed and proven to be efficacious, that demand will continue to rise.
We've already complicated our lives by over-applying nitrogen, for example. And nitrogen in California is a prime example. The nitrates are getting into our water systems and polluting those so that it's unsafe for human consumption. And when you've got a limited, precious commodity or resource like water, and we've damaged it over all these years, I guess we're just getting smarter. And we realize that not just here in California, but throughout the world, we have to be careful about what we're applying to the soils in order to keep our water supplies clean and clear. And it's the same with runoff. If you're applying too much of anything and it runs off and gets into our waterways, it can seriously damage and set our ecosystems back, so that other products or other things like fish that the consumer wants are damaged or polluted, contaminated, if you will. So we have to change our way of thinking. We have to get our soils back and healthy. We've damaged them so bad over the years in our farm practices. Maybe it's just the tillage practices. Maybe it's the inputs that we're putting in. But now with biological help, we can re-stimulate that soil to be a natural soil again, have biological activity in there that will help us continue to grow crops, make that soil healthier. If we continue on the route that we used to be on, I'm afraid of what will happen. I've watched massive changes in premium, beautiful, sustainable growing areas turn the wrong direction. When I first started farming many, many years ago, up in the Palouse, for example, in Washington State, I thought that was the most perfect soil I have ever had the pleasure of working on with all the dryland crop people up there. And now the pHs have changed to the point that we're having to put massive inputs in just to balance the soil back up. And it's all due to what we've put in the past. We poison something, we destroy the microbial activity, and that's the result. We end up with a dead soil, a less healthy soil. And the only way we can continue to produce crops is to put more inputs in, so more and more fertilizer. And then, as I said, the offshoot of that is and results of that is pollution elsewhere, damage to other resources and ecosystem.
Sentiments like these from veterans in the ag industry, like lemons, are all the more reason to pursue these types of products and start straying away from agriculture's older, damaging ways. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.